Welcome to the Free Lawyer Podcast. I'm your host, Gary Miles. The Free Lawyer Podcast is designed for the lawyer, entrepreneur, or professional who is in some way unfulfilled, stressed, or stuck, and is looking for something better. We will discuss various blocks that limit us from achieving the personal freedom that we all desire, but have not yet fully experienced. And we will give actionable steps to free yourself from them. Are you looking to achieve a new level of success? If so, this podcast is for you. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for this episode of The Free Lawyer. I'm glad each of you are here. And y'all know that I do this podcast as a way to help and support other attorneys. It's just my passion today. After 45 years of fighting with you guys, I now want to link arms and help you be as successful as you can. And that's why I do this podcast. And if you like the podcast, I'd love it if you could leave me a rating and review and share it with your friends. And you may also know I recently wrote the book Breaking Free. It's all about how you can create freedom in your personal life and your professional life. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. So today I'm thrilled to have with us Ronnie Deaver. Ronnie is a true expert in the legal marketing field, and he has insights that are different from many, many others. And I want you to hear them today because we're all often concerned about how to grow our practice and be more successful and make more money in less time. And Ronnie can help us to answer those questions. Ronnie, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to be here. And I love your mission and vision for helping people live a better life. So I'm really glad to be here.
Thank you, Ronnie. Well, life is too short. So I found for me, it's important to enjoy the journey. And and my experience is too many lawyers get so stuck in the quagmire, they're unhappy and frustrated, and they often don't have to be. Tell me, Ronnie, about your professional journey and what you do today and how you got there.
Yeah. So for me, I kind of stumbled into working with law firms, and unexpected to me, I really fell in love with the field. I'm kind of a, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they talk about lawyers, they make what I find very inappropriate and mean jokes, and it's not exactly a beloved field among the general populace. But when I dove in, you know, I started working for a marketing agency a while back. I found out that y'all are some of the most hardworking, sincere people who are trying to help and are literally raising your hands to get involved in people's most hellish situations when everyone else would walk away, right? I mean, people are often losing friends during this time, but lawyers are stepping in to help. And so my respect and admiration for law firms and lawyers in general just skyrocketed as I started to work with y'all in the marketing capacity. And then nowadays launched my own firm a couple years later, now specializing in business development, which is marketing intake and sales, you know, kind of cross the board there. I just love what you all do. And I really think y'all deserve great success. And I want to make it happen for the people I'm blessed to work with.
Well, that's wonderful, Ronnie. I know you've generated some amazing success for some of your clients. What are some of the most important insights or strategies that have contributed to your success in getting leads and ultimately clients for your law firm clients?
Yeah. So I think the number one thing I've learned over the years is that revenue growth is not just about spending more on marketing. At the end of the day, your revenue growth engine is a business development system, which has three parts, as I mentioned earlier: marketing, intake, and sales. I can generate as many leads as I want. And I used to be a pure lead generator. But if those leads aren't converting into consultations, and those consultations aren't converting into cases, then it really doesn't matter. More leads, but not more cases is meaningless, right? We're not in the game of leads. We're in the game of cases, and more importantly, revenue, right? And so the number one thing I advise, you know, people who are thinking about the revenue growth is, hey, make sure not only you're getting more leads, but make sure you're converting those leads into consultations at a viable rate, and make sure that you're converting those consultations into cases at a viable rate, and check those bottlenecks first before you maybe just throw endless money at marketing.
It doesn't make much sense to spend a lot of money on marketing if we don't capture the leads and turn them into clients.
Yeah, and I know it's remarkably common and overlooked.
It really is. It's because we get so busy that we think we can hire an expert to build us a good website, run our ad campaign, and we'll come out ahead. And sometimes we may just be spending money and not coming out ahead at all. And I know you talk about these three legs, the marketing, the intake, and the sales. Just tell me first, what does the marketing usually look like?
Yeah, in terms of campaign, you know, we're a big believer in trying to find the 20% that drives 80% of results. Not that I have, you know, I'm against any particular marketing avenue, but I don't like doing effort that I don't have to. And I certainly prefer to focus on the things that are going to get me the majority of my results. And so over the years, I've tracked about 650,000 leads, working with about 350 law firms and generating a little over 100 million in revenue. And what I tracked in that time period was three assets generate about 87.5% of all leads. And those three assets are Google Business Profile, more commonly known as Google My Business, Google Ads, and webinars. And that's an interesting topic there, webinars, that most people don't really think of. But when you combine those three things together, you get about 87.5% of lead flow. So until you have those things really locked in, I don't usually recommend touching almost anything else.
So tell me what each of those three things is and how they work.
Yeah. So Google Business Profile, I mean, basically people look for law firms like they look for restaurants. You ever Google Italian restaurant near me, you're going to see the maps, right? You're going to see the reviews. Nowadays, the crazy thing is you can book a reservation. You can look at their menu. You can click to order online, everything through that Google Business Profile without ever going to that restaurant's website. So unshockingly, people do the exact same thing. They type in family lawyer near me, criminal lawyer near me, personal injury lawyer near me, whatever have you. And that profile shows up. They look at your products, they look at your services, they look at your reviews. And crazily enough, 62% of them are going to call you from that profile without ever having looked at your website. Okay, so your website isn't even your front page anymore. It's really your Google Business Profile, because no matter what you do, radio ads, billboards, TV, inevitably people are going to Google your name. And the first thing they see is that profile, not your website. All right, so that's the foundation of our campaigns. From there,
What is the key in having my profile pop up when they put in family lawyer near me, for example?
Yeah, two things: grunt work and reviews. So grunt work is just on the profile. Google loves Google. All right. So the more work you can put in the profile, they just love you for it, even if nobody ever looks at it. So for example, you know, products, services, posts, photos. Many don't know this, but you can ask yourself a question and answer that question yourself. So I've got clients now that we've worked with for 2-3 years. We have 250 questions and answers on that profile. We have 60,000 words of content on that profile through the Q&A function. You think Google knows that they're an expert? Yeah, right? They dominate everyone else because they just put in more grunt work. So that's half of it. The other half of it is just purely the amount of reviews and frequency of generating new reviews that you can get on that profile. It's no shocker that a guy with 300 reviews is probably going to outrank a guy with 30 reviews, right? So generating those reviews is crucial. And webinars helps with that later, and we'll talk about that in a bit.
Okay. And tell me about the intake. What's the key to the intake?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing with intake for us is we found out that about 22% of calls are going to be missed, all right, from an internal receptionist. So 22%. So I'd have somebody who get 100 phone calls in a month, and 22 of those were completely unanswered. And it's perfectly normal. Those people, they have breaks. If they're on the phone with one person, they can't talk to another person. They don't work 24/7. And so for intake, the number one problem to solve is your missed call rate. And there's various strategies to do that. I cover that in my book, The Elite Business Development System for Law Firms. It's on Amazon for the details. But regardless, step number one, actually make sure your phones are getting picked up. And then step number two is making sure that you have a script in process and a sales process that is actually effective at selling the consult, particularly paid consults. Most attorneys think of consults as kind of a filtering mechanism against the poor, which I think that's good. That's fine. It's important to make sure you have the right demographic, but it's also the first experience, the first product this person has ever purchased from you. And so you want to make it a good product, and you want to make it feel like a good deal, so that people are more likely to convert, and you don't accidentally filter out people who had the money and had a problem you could solve and could have paid you, but didn't even get that far because they felt a little bit disrespected in that process of like, $250 for the right to speak to me. It's just not a good tone to set from the beginning.
So what's the right, without getting the details, it depends on the firm, it depends on the area of law, but what's a good kind of a script to give to a prospective client who calls?
So mostly it comes down to what makes a good offer, right? And so a good offer is going to feel like it has something tangible, right? So we do things like, hey, we're going to give you a PDF printout of all the notes we take during your consult, or I'm going to have an outline of the plan I would give you to win your case. So no matter what, people feel like, hey, I'm going to get something tangible out of this. Even if they can't help me, I got something tangible, right? The next is a clear timeline. All right. So people really love to, hey, I'm going to book you with an attorney in, say, 48 hours or less. So speed feels good. There's a clear timeline. If you can, as a bonus, you can add things like a bit of exclusivity and authority sensation. Like, hey, you're going to speak one-on-one with one of our senior attorneys. You're going to have a private conversation, a 45-minute conversation with our senior attorney, right? Anything like a founding attorney, anything like that, anything that adds kind of exclusivity, all makes a huge difference. And the third and most crucial portion here is going to be risk reversal. Anything that makes it feel like it's not actually a risk to spend that money. So an easy one that people can use anytime if you're retainer-based is, hey, it's $250, but if you do choose to work with us, that $250 gets rolled up as a credit towards your retainer, right? All that can be great. Other simple risk reversal is, hey, it's $250, but no matter what, even if we can't help you, we're going to personally refer you to another lawyer who can, right? Again, risk reversal. People feel like no matter what, they're going to get value out of this, so it's worth putting that money down. And those things combined will give you way higher conversion rates.
My experience is most clients expect free consultations rather than paid ones. Are you suggesting that's not a good plan to offer free consultations to prospective clients?
I think they both have their ups and downs. I'd say probably my ideal is a low dollar paid consult. So a lot of people, when they go to paid consults, they go straight to like $250, $350. It's fine. It just requires a harder sales skill. I love $45 consults. And the reason I love $45 consults is it's just enough that anybody who really just wants free advice, the people you really just want to filter out, they're gone, right? That's just enough to get rid of those guys. But it's low enough that the serious people don't even think twice about it. They're like, yeah, that's totally fine. I don't mind that at all. And they're still willing to engage in the process. So you convert the most amount of valid people while still filtering out the completely useless people.
That
And
makes
there's,
sense because my experience is a lot of people are just looking for cheap, free advice, you know.
yeah. So you absolutely, absolutely want to filter those guys out. So I'm very much on that same page.
You talk about the importance of kind of closing the sale. And I think many lawyers don't even like the word sales,
No.
but training us to actually close the deal and have the client sign up and be our client, it's something that's often overlooked. I don't think lawyers have been trained in it. I don't think they understand it necessarily. What do you think are the important sales skills that a lawyer should use in that consult with a prospective client?
So to talk a bit just briefly on the fact, that you can't avoid sales in this process, I always like to remind my attorneys that at the end of the day, you don't get on these consults because you want to give out free advice or free therapy. The only thing you want from this is for them to sign the retainer agreement and to pay you, which means intrinsic or inherently that this is a sales call, right? So I know we don't like the word, but at the end of the day, if you're going to have a business, you have to do sales, okay? And that's what's happening here. Now, in terms of the biggest skill, like the biggest difference I can recommend, and I cover this in way more depth in my book, but there's this concept called Heaven Hell Bridge. And Heaven Hell Bridge is basically a narrative process for walking people through their own thoughts so that it makes it easy for them to conclude that they should hire you. And it basically goes like this: oh no, I'm in hell. I'm experiencing these problems, and that sucks. Here's where I want to go. It looks like this. I want to feel this way. That would be awesome. How do I get there? Here's my guide. The lawyer is my guide. He has a plan A or B or C to get me there. And all I have to do to get out of hell to reach heaven is sign here, right? And there's details and scripting to how to actually do that. But the basic idea is if you've got to structure your call such that they can frame that story in their head, so that it's really easy for them to have that narrative of, yeah, I want to sign with this guy because I want to get out of hell and achieve heaven. That sounds awesome.
So the key is to show a plan that will solve their problem and get them to a better place.
Absolutely. And to remember that you're not really selling lawyer services, you're selling a service or a program to get them out of hell and to achieve heaven. People don't buy lawyers, they buy outcomes, right? And if you can make that clear in your sales process, you'll have a way better time.
We're selling them a solution to their problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. What are some of the main obstacles that law firms face in their marketing, and how do you help them overcome them?
Mostly it's a kind of blindness to what's actually going on. A lot of law firms, you know, have a lot of preconceived notions of why they're not growing, but they don't actually have data, right? So they're not necessarily going to have lead tracking set up so they know where every single call is coming from. They're not necessarily going to have a CRM set up so they don't actually know how successful are their intake team at converting leads into consults. And they're definitely not usually tracking themselves for determining how successful are they for converting a consult into a case. And so there's just this perpetual blindness. And so the number one thing I work with people on and help them with is like, hey, let's stop being blind. Like, what's going on here? What are we actually doing? How many leads are we getting? How many leads are converting into consults? How many consults converting in cases? And also, when you do sign a case, what's your average case value, right? Like, you got to know your numbers. And, you know, unless you're measuring it, it can't be improved. Because that's probably the number one thing we're trying to fix.
Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, because in my firm, I'm the one who takes the calls and I don't track any of those things. And it makes sense. I'm living in a world of blind ignorance. And and how can we improve something if we don't know where we're starting from? And, yeah. And that data would probably tell us what the problem is. Not enough calls or not enough converted into consultations.
And it's actually
lawyers, or not enough consultations converted into clients, or the clients aren't good clients to have. We don't know what the problem is if we don't analyze the data.
And it's actually easier to set up than most people realize. You really just need two tools. CallRail and or WhatConverts are your lead tracking sources. And then connect that with a tool like Lawmatics, and you'll have 90-95% of the data in a period of like 2 weeks. It's not even necessarily a massive project.
So for the listeners who don't know what they are, explain what those two tools are.
Yeah. So CallRail and or WhatConverts, these are both technologies that allow you to set up fancy numbers that track where the calls come from. Okay. So, or form fills come from. So you can tell, did it come from your website? And if it came from your website, did it come from Google? Did it come from Facebook? Did it come from somebody typing it directly, right? You get a basic idea of where calls are coming from. But more importantly, in my opinion, it tells you how many leads are you getting. So even if you don't set it up fully to have perfect tracking on where everything comes from. And here's why.
Where? Do you mean geographical location?
No. So I mean, that's a great question. I apologize for my not talking about that. I mostly mean where it came from the digital verse, right? So did Facebook, Google, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, your website? Did it come from Google My Business? All that. Now, caveat, setting that up, that's a bit of effort. So even if you said, for example, you set up one call tracking number and you simply just replaced your office phone number with this tracking number, you would at least get one data point, which is how many leads per month do you actually get? Okay. And most people don't even know that. So even if you don't do all this other fancy source stuff, just knowing how many leads you have is crucial step number one.
They use a special number just for incoming leads.
Correct. Yeah. So you would put that on your Google, you put it on your website, you put it on all your different socials, anywhere you think you get leads from. Even if you just put one number on, you would suddenly get a volume, which then gives you a number. And then even if you say, for example, didn't set up a tool like Lawmatics. Lawmatics is just a CRM, which is a customer relationship management tool, which lets you just track everyone who's reaching out to you and manage them. But even if you didn't, but you do track how many consultations you have per month, if you know how many leads you got and you know how many consultations you got, which could be in a spreadsheet or even written down on paper because you did them, you'd at least then have a number there, which is what is your lead to consultation rate? And that's already huge, right? Like that's already a huge step in the right direction, because that's going to tell you, that number tells you everything you need to know of, hey, do you have an intake problem? If you're converting 35% of leads into consultations, you don't have an intake problem. Could better be possible? Yeah, but you're at a pretty good level. If it's lower than that, reevaluate, okay? And then you can even do napkin math for the other number, which is consult to case rate, right? You know how many cases you sign. Just divide those numbers, right? And again, so even with just one tool, just CallRail or just WhatConverts, which I really recommend WhatConverts. It's a story, but WhatConverts is my recommendation, WhatConverts.com. Even if you just set that up, you would be able to extrapolate the three most important metrics you need to determine what's going on in your business.
So with WhatConverts, you would find out how many calls you got. And I guess, does it show you how many were actually answered?
Yeah. So you'll know how long those calls are as well. So for example, I consider any call less than 30 seconds a missed call, right? So you would not really, I like under like 60 seconds, under 50 seconds, but 30 seconds is my go-to. 50 seconds is just barely long enough to make a voicemail. 22 seconds is about how long most calls ring. So then most voicemails are between 20 and 25 seconds, which gets you somewhere around 50 seconds to even have a voicemail. But regardless, yes, it does track that, and you would know how many calls and how long and whether or not they were lit actually answered.
That's fantastic. I think we should all think about doing a better job of tracking our numbers, because otherwise, how can we figure out what's not working and how to fix it? Ronnie, can you share any success stories you've had with any of your clients and changes you made and how they worked out without sharing any confidential information about the firm?
So I'll kind of give three quick separate success stories: marketing, intake, and sales. I do have some people who have done them all together, but it's a little bit more fun to isolate them. On the marketing side, one of the things we found is particularly powerful about our campaign using Google My Business, Google Ads, and webinars is that webinars allow you to generate unlimited reviews. All right, and unlimited reviews means you can open as many Google My Business locations as you want, and Google Ads enhances your Google My Business profile. And so when you run all three of those, suddenly you can open as many locations as you want. So we're able to take somebody from a single location to, I had a guy go up to five locations very profitably in as little as like 4 months, right? And I still want to take this further. I think I can take him statewide and nationwide. Okay. So that guy went from like 60 calls a month to he was doing a 400 calls a month in his peak, right? He saw like a 6x increase, more than a 6x increase in phone calls in a relatively short period of 3 to 6 months because we were able to open all those locations. It was absolutely nutty. So that's marketing. From an intake side, I recently had a wonderful story with a guy. He was, like many lawyers, is very usually very convinced that lead quality is the problem, right? Like, hey, we're not getting enough consults. We're not getting enough consults. So our lead quality must be bad, or we need more leads. And I went and overhauled his entire intake process, overhauled who answered his phones, how they were answered, the script that was used, the automations and CRMs that he used to manage that process, totally rebuilt it from the ground up, and found out that lead problem was not a problem at all. He went from booking 1 to 2 consults a week max, and then we got that up to he booked 8 consults last week alone, right? And that's from the exact same lead flow, no change in lead flow at all. Completely revolutionized the number of consults he was booking by improving his intake process.
And
And the,
what kind of improvements do you make to improve someone's intake process?
yeah, I mean, we kind of went into that. The big one for him
The
was
script
getting
that you
the,
were talking about before.
yeah, that was the main, getting the phones answered, getting a script that actually worked, putting it at a price that made sense. He was trying to sell a $250 consult. I'm not saying you can never do that, but it's a much harder project. It requires much more sales skill to do well from whoever's actually selling that consult. So I don't usually recommend it. It's operationally hard. There's reasons to do it, but I don't usually recommend it. And then the third thing we did is we automated everything. So all those leads were coming into a CRM, automatically being texted, emailed, called, and followed up with very aggressively to get them to actually show up and to book that consult, right?
When you say it's coming into it through a technology source, what do you mean? You use some sort of an app to handle the call, or some
So when I say
voice
lead,
answering service or something?
yeah, so there's a couple ways. Leads come in lots of different ways. So some people, they call in, okay? And what we do is we have that call initially get answered. We call this hybrid call answering. We get the call initially answered by a call answering service like Smith.ai, because those guys are very good at picking up the phone reliably, right? They'll have a very low missed call rate. I've had them go as low as 3%. Compared to 22%, right? They do not miss calls. They're great at that. However, as many of you will note, Smith.ai can really lack in empathy, right? They're very bad salespeople. So when you want to sell something or you want them to have human connection of any kind, they're very bad at it. So then what we do is we have them do very basic filtering, okay? Like 3 questions max. And then we have them forward that call to somebody internally who's actually going to sell the consult. All right. And so we found that process to be ideal to filter out not relevant and make sure only the ones that are most good actually go to your internal person so that they can specialize and they're not overwhelmed, and then give them that script and then automate follow-up, and you get a way higher closing rate.
Well, that's really amazing. That's really amazing. And it shows that if we actually pay attention to the process, we can do a lot better and generate more cases for ourselves. What do you think are the main technology or digital tools that a law firm should look at using?
Now, call tracking, essential. So we talked about that. What converts, CallRail. Absolutely some kind of CRM, so Lawmatics. The only one I don't recommend is Clio Grow. There's a whole story there, but I don't like Clio Grow. There's lots of other ones that you can use. MyCase, Practice Panther. They all have different ways of handling their inbound leads. Right now, my favorite is Lawmatics. You can also use things like HubSpot, ActiveCampaign. It doesn't really matter. My thing with CRMs is all that really matters is that you actually use it and you actually build on it. Many people start, setting up one, but they never actually use it. And so I don't care which one you pick, just pick it and actually use it and actually build upon it.
You talked about webinars and we've all heard about SEO and Google Ads and getting reviews, but webinars to me is a very unique idea. Tell me how that works into your marketing plan.
Yeah, webinars are the crucial piece that makes scaling the lead flow or making unlimited lead flow possible. And basically, the long story short of it is people are looking, anytime there's an information gap, people are looking for help. So in estate planning, for example, an easy thing is, hey, three mistakes you must avoid for to help your family legacy, right? Or something like that. Or in family law, the three things you need to know before you file for divorce. Okay. There's always going to be some kind of information gap where people are like, wow, I really need to know this, right? Criminal law, people are going to want to know things on expungement, for example, right? People are going to really know, can I remove my felony or can I remove my misdemeanor or whatever? People are going to want to know that information. And so what's really cool is you run a Facebook ad talking about that topic. People will click it. They will sign up to watch that webinar. We're having those people sign up and they watch a 30, 45 minute webinar, most of them watching at least 60 to 70% of it. So that's like 20 minutes of content. And the cool thing is about 25% of the people who watch it, I mean, they're watching it because they're probably about to file for divorce, right? Or they're probably wanting to look to get their misdemeanor removed, or they're probably thinking about estate planning. Like they didn't click it because they don't have a case. They clicked it because they have a case, right? And 25% of those people are willing to convert into a consultation, which is great. But what's more important is 10 to 40% practice area dependent are willing to leave a review on Google, okay? Because they got value from the webinar. They just spent 30 minutes watching your webinar, learning from you, and they thought it was great. So they're willing to leave a review. And so what we're able to do that, we have an estate planner right now who generates 30 reviews per month. Per month. He generates more reviews per month than most law firms get ever, right? Per month, and totally legit. They're not fake, right? They watched their webinar, they got value, and they loved it. And they said, hey, this guy helped me, so I'm gonna go leave a review. And you can scale that up as much as you want. As long as you spend money on Facebook ads, you can get as many as little as you want, just based on how many people you push through the webinar. And not only are you getting consults at a profitable rate, usually around 3.5x, okay? Not only are you getting that, but you're also getting these reviews. And those reviews let you dominate your market on Google My Business and let you open multiple locations all throughout either your city, if you want to stay in one city, or throughout your state, if you want to be across the state, or across the nation, if you want to be across the nation. There's no limit, because you can just keep feeding these reviews into each of those locations and dominate any market you enter.
Ronnie, I know you're big on supporting family and improving the lives of your law firm owner clients. How do the principles that you talk about kind of comport or align with those values?
Yeah. So one of the things I've learned in my own life, particularly as a man, and I can't speak to how this feels like for women, but success in business for me is directly tied to my level of confidence and happiness in life, right? When I'm when business is not going well for me, it kind of, as much as I try not to, it bleeds into the rest of my life, right? It bleeds into my family life. It bleeds into how I treat my wife. It bleeds into how I treat my kids. Okay. And so for me, I know how important it is to figure this thing out and be good at it and love it and love what I do and love my work and love my life. And I don't want to mess around. You know, I'm like, this matters too much. This affects everything else in my life downstream. I've got to figure this out. I can't accept mediocrity. And so when I look at my lawyers and I'm trying to build a product for them, I'm trying to build this business development product. I'm trying to build it not only to make them a bunch of money or to help them to go nationwide or statewide. I want them to feel extreme confidence and love for their business. And one of the things I've always found to be true is that I always feel happier when I have an abundance of opportunities coming my way, right? If I have more leads and more consults and more cases coming my way than I can handle, then I am mentally not stressed. I'm comfortable. Some fire comes and I'm like, whatever. I got three more cases coming down the pipe tomorrow, right? Like, I'm completely different in how I behave when things are going well. And so I'm trying to make that happen for people.
That's really, really nice. Ronnie, you know, I call this podcast The Free Lawyer because it's all about how we can achieve personal freedom in our lives as lawyers or other professions. What does true personal freedom mean to you, Ronnie?
I mean, it kind of connects to what we were just talking about. I think it's freedom to build the life I want for myself and my family. And so for me, I love money as a tool. You know, I don't love money for money's sake, but I love what it can do. And it means things like I can go live in a better neighborhood to have my kids be surrounded by better children who are better raised, right? And that matters, right? Like there is differences. Like, hey, some kids are better raised than other kids. And I determine who my kids associate with based on my degree of success and what I can position ourselves to be next to, right? And so freedom for me is to be able to freely craft that life for me, my wife, and my children, and through business as my tool to generate that revenue is how I do it, right? And that's why I was saying I want to make that for other people. And I want to give that freedom to build people's life, to build your own life like that to my clients.
Yeah, freedom is such an important concept. And you know, to be able to have more clients than we need so we can pick and choose the right clients, the right cases, and know that we'll be comfortable and know that we can afford to hire an associate to help us with this onslaught of new cases and then find time ourselves to take a break and enjoy life. Very important.
Absolutely.
A lot of lawyers out there are struggling, and a lot of it has to do with business development and marketing because it's not anything that was ever taught to us in law school. So Ronnie, your insights today, I really, really appreciate. They're huge, huge help to our audience. Ronnie, for anyone who'd like to get in touch with you and learn more about what you do and how you can help, what's the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think a good step for anyone listening, I'm a very kind of technical person. And if you are too, and you love to really understand inner workings of things, please check out my book. It's the Elite Business Development System for Law Firms. It's on Amazon.com. Just type that in, Elite Business Development System for Law Firms, or even skip the four law firms. It's there. But if you just want to talk to me directly, I love speaking with people. Please reach out. It's NobleMarketing.com. That's N as in Nancy, O, B as in boy, U-L-L, marketing.com/talk. That's T as in Tom, A-L-K. NobleMarketing.com/talk. And you can book a time to speak with me directly.
Awesome. Ronnie, thank you so much. I really appreciate you and appreciate all your wisdom you shared today. And
for
all those of you who listened, thank you for being here. We appreciate each and every one of you. And as always, please be well, be safe, and be free.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Free Lawyer Podcast. Wherever you are listening, if you enjoyed what I shared, please leave me a rating and review. I would appreciate hearing more about what you like best and what topics you might like me to cover in future episodes. If you are interested in experiencing a more fulfilling and a more successful life, please contact me at www.garymiles.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me so I can learn more about you, your challenges, and your dreams. I appreciate each and every one of you. And have a great rest of your day. Thanks to all of you for your support.